Hello, and welcome to the Ipse Podcast. We hope you are enjoying the series. We wanted to give you a quick disclaimer that this episode has been previously recorded. Please feel free to check out our website, mobile app, S1Net page, and other social media channels for more information on Ipse. As we gear up for the Release 3 Go Live, we are proud to have you in the fight with us. Enjoy the episode.
Ipse leads the way.
Ipse.
One system personnel.
Welcome to another episode of the Ipse Podcast. Today's episode, I think you're really going to like. We've brought together multiple chief warrant officers to really talk and discuss what the Ipse system is going to do for the AG Warrant Corps, but also for the AG Corps writ large. Really excited today to have CW5 Hickman from the AG Schoolhouse, CW5 Martinez from 5th Corps G1, as well as our own Ipse team member, CW4 Freeman, to really talk, you know, multiple topics. You know, what's going on at the schoolhouse? What do we need to prepare for to get Ipse out the door? As well as where is the core and the HR business in the Army going in the future? So again, really excited to have those three on. You know, let's start by having each introduce themselves. And let's start with CW5 Hickman. So Chief, why don't you introduce yourself, please?
Outstanding. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk, have a discussion about Ipse. I've been doing Army HR since before computers, so I am. I've been through a few through a few system changes, and I can tell you, I have never been more excited about some changes, just because it's such a fundamental change, and it's really going to improve a lot of the gaps that I think that I've seen over the years. I'm currently serving as a chief warrant officer of the AG Corps here at the AG School and the Soldier Support Institute at Fort Jackson, South Carolina. In this position, I'm responsible for the .mil PF. Just really kind of looking out for the career, what kind of training those folks need to be successful. You know, Ipse is going to be a fundamental piece of that. But that is generally who I am. I've been in the Army since 1992, so a little over 28 years now. Love doing this every day, and I'm excited that I'll be around long enough to see Ipse come to fruition. I'm pretty excited. So,
yeah, awesome, Chief. I mean, you lost me at pre-computer. But you know, all good. I mean, whew, you got a lot on your shoulders. We tend to think we got a lot on our shoulders here at the Ipse world, but you know, you clearly got a lot to think about and help shape as we move forward in your role as really the chief of the Corps in my terms. Appreciate you jumping on today and having this conversation with us. Chief Martinez, you know, I'll throw it over to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. It's actually a pleasure knowing that we want to hear from the warrant officer. So I really want to thank you for this opportunity. I am going to say I do have 25 years of HR experience. Probably didn't have a computer when I first came in, but I had a typewriter because I actually came in as a 71 Lima, which is an admin specialist. But slowly but surely got pulled into the S1 jobs. Learned Zipper 2.7 and use it for about 6 months before we start transitioning to Zipper 3. So just like Mar mentioned, went through a few systems after that. Now we are in MILPO, so surprise. I am in 5th Corps G1, serving as a senior HR tech. But prior to this, as many know, I was in Forces Command G1 as a senior HR tech, very focused into data correctness, very focused into Ipse. So I am also a lifelong learner. So I love the changes. I heard a long time ago, it was we kind of killing the dinosaur slowly, stab them a little bit at a time, so we can move forward. And I'm very excited for Ipse and see what can we do and what new systems after Ipse release 3. Hopefully I'm here and still in the Army for Ipse release 4. So very glad we're moving forward.
Yeah, it's our pleasure, you know, up front, Chief, to have you and Chief Hickman and Chief Freeman on. So absolutely, I think this is the pleasure is ours for you guys being on. You know, Sherry Freeman, she's on the IPSA team. Why don't you introduce yourself, Chief?
CW4 Sherry Freeman. I've been in the service for 25 years now. And just a little fun fact, I came in when we all were issued AKO IDs. So, yeah, I've been part of the Army Talent Management team for liaison. I've been the Army Talent Management liaison now for a few months. And my job as the liaison is to bridge the gap between IPSA and talent management. Talent management kind of is a developmental team for the initiatives being released in IPSA. And the IPSA team is actually bringing those initiatives to fruition through development. Thank you for the invitation. And I can't wait to continue this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, again, warm welcome to all of you. Let's start off, Chief Hickman. You have us all beat. You said you had 28 years of service. What's on your mind, and maybe what do you want to talk about first with you know, anything that's buzzing around your head as you take a look at where we are with IPSA and where we're going?
Well, that's a loaded question. That's a loaded question for sure. I think I just figured out in my head almost 29 in two and a half months. So pretty excited about that. So, you know, the thing that keeps me up at night, right, and it's kind of coming into this position, I've been in this position for coming up on about 10, 12 months, really is, you know, is the warrant officer, and is really on a grander scale, the AG Corps ready to be the experts for commanders, soldiers, and families. But I think there's going to be an expectation. So that means, you know, there's a lot of work to be done, and there's a lot of work that has been done for a long time. I think there's a lot of, you know, I go into the classrooms. I used to be an instructor here, right? And I probably can't count, right? I probably need both hands and a couple feet to how many dot matrix Space Invaders type systems that we taught to our warrant officers, who we taught to our officers and our enlisted. And, you know, 10 years later, we're still teaching those same things. And it's because, you know, we've been anxiously awaiting IPSA. Not that IPSA has been in development for 10 years, but probably kind of has. And that's quite okay, because it's such a big deal. And
already throwing rocks, Chief. Come on, I'm dodging. I'm ducking.
Not a single rock. What I say though is, right, that it the work has been done. I have a good friend of mine who is a commercial salesman for appliances, right, and his company over the holidays released a new system that they were managing all their stuff on. Unfortunately, they didn't do a lot of things that you've done, you know, and really, you know, you've sat down with just about every entity in the Army and understanding how data works and what people need. They didn't do that, right? So they've now spent 3 weeks trying to recode all this stuff and trying to get things figured out, you know, and now they're paying the guy who built it, but they didn't give them all the system requirements, you know, lots and lots of more money because they try to figure this out on the back end. You know, IPSA team over the years, I've seen them do the work, right? I've seen them sit down with organizations across all compos to really understand how all the data ties together, how all the processes, you know, what happens up in HRC, you know, with the how an action gets streamed through and the requirements, and trying to find some common ground even sometimes to what the future is. As I'm talking in circles already again, just awesome, great start. But really what gets to my head, right, and I tell all the warrant officers, the commanders are going to expect you to be the expert, right? So there's no time to waste. There's a lot of resources and a lot of training that needs to be done. But there's going to be an expectation, not only for HR warrant officers, but really the entire HRE core, that if we want to continue to maintain our relevance, to continue to, you know, maintain that level of support that we're known for, of taking care of soldiers, and at the same time also being ready to go at a moment's notice if the nation calls and go perform operations in a foreign country, then, you know, we're ready to do that. So, and there's so much involved with it. From this perspective here in the AG school, we are 100% driving towards ensuring that there is institutional training available, you know, post-release 3, ensuring that people are coming here. We're not still teaching people email PO, right? We're teaching them how to do PAR requests. We're teaching them how to use the data tools, and teaching them how to be prepared when they leave and they set and they go to their unit. So those are the things that I think about quite often. I have no doubt that there's going to be issues and there's going to be bumps, right? So it's something that I also continue to preach. I'm going to go a little bit divergent, right? It's a networking thing. I think if you look through to the Army National Guard and how they went through release two and seeing how the network came together and they were tackling problems across state lines, right? From Title 32 to Title 10. You know, and they created, you know, these deep books, right? Of this is how you do this. This is the problem I ran into. And the AG network is going to have to be very strong. Your warrant officer network is going to have to be very strong because no one person is going to be able to figure it out on their own. We're all going to hit bumps in the roads and we can share those things. We can learn from each other. And if we have these professional networks, these personal networks that that you have fostered over the years, or even if it's just in your organizational level, it's really going to pay huge gains so that we can, as a group, move forward as a much, much quicker as a group instead of as an individual. But I'm excited. I really am for IPSA. You know, people always say IPSA is coming. It feels like it's here. I know the National Guard says it's here. Release three is coming, but I don't think it's in the front anymore. It's right there sitting in the car. In the seat right next to me. So we're just continuing to drive forward to that release date.
I was going to say, let's unpack that for a minute. And then Chief Freeman, you can jump in. We're almost, into February. We're driving forward and there's a lot to do to prep, prep data to come into IPSA, to do training, to prep for IPSA, to get a little more education, to prep for IPSA. And then to go live. So there's kind of a lot to do in these next couple of months. And, you know, for folks out in the core, it's like, hey, it's time to pay attention now. You could probably have got away with not focusing if you're in the active duty on IPSA, you know, last year or before, you know, to your point, it's taken us a bit of time to get release two out and then to get to where we are now for release three. But, the time to focus is starting now, and the more that you kind of jump into it and focus and, you know, learn about, you know, the system as best you can, you know, the better it's going to be.
Yeah. And I definitely talk a lot of people about that ramp, right? So you can start, if you have a place to get to that's a mile away, you know, and you lay a ramp from where you are to where you want to be. When it's a mile away, it's probably not a very steep ramp, right? But if you wait until the last minute, it's going to be really steep. And it's going to be very hard to get to where you need to be. So everything that you can do to prepare, even if it's just listening in, sitting in, you know, maybe doing a UPK a week or whatever it may be, the more involved you can be, the better prepared you're going to be. And honestly, it's an opportunity, you know, for NCOs and leaders to use this as training, right? So we always kind of try to figure out what are we going to do for low density training. I mean, it's there for you. You go to S1Net, you go to the IPSA tab, and I think you probably have enough training to fill up quite a few Thursdays or whatever day you might be doing that training.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I don't know, Chief, I'm a big nerd, right? So then I just look at stuff on my, you know, my iPad at the house, you know, because some of these videos and these things that are out there on social media are not very long, but it does key folks into, you know, what to pay attention to or what to think through. A little more. So certainly a lot that you can do for sergeant's time training and, you know, low density training and, you know, focusing your unit, et cetera, already. And then there'll be much more in the middle of the year. Right. But let me circle back over to Chief Freeman. I mean, you were trying to jump in.
So I remember hearing about IPSA and that IPSA was coming two assignments ago. I remember hearing about it. And back then, I'm going to say it, there was much comparison to dimers and what happened to dimers, you know. And I think it's taken a while for people to catch on that IPSA is sticking. It's not going anywhere and it's actually going to happen. My last unit, I was sending up, you know, preparing records, you know, for the IPSA transition, sending up information to Chief Martinez, actually. Trying to get prepared for this thing. And now that I've arrived to the IPSA team, I actually get to see the team in action. And it almost feels like right now we're kind of in a sweet spot where you can get excited about it being released, yet you still have a little bit of time to react. Even if you feel like you haven't done everything you've needed to up to this point, you still have a little bit of time to catch up.
Yeah. Hey, so when was that 2 units ago, Chief? Like, when was that?
Do I want to share this?
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, it's okay. I got thick skin, right? You know, I've been in this business a while.
Well, I was part of the first TSC at Fort Bragg, and we first heard about it, and we read the exhorts and things from the very beginning about what needed to happen, what was going to happen. And quite frankly, we didn't clearly understand everything. And sometimes it takes actually executing what was in those exhorts to kind of see how it all comes together and how your unit fits into the bigger picture. Moving on to First Army, that particular unit had units geographically dispersed, and we had reserve component, National Guard, and active duty. So we had no choice but to look at what was going on for release two. But it helped us prepare for release three. We actually got to go to some of those National Guard units to see, you know, how things were panning out, what kind of issues they were having. And it kind of helped us, you know, look forward to what we might need to be concerned about when it came down to active duty release for release three.
I think that's all good. That's everybody. I think that's most people's experience. So, you know, no hiding. I've been in this job since 2016, Chief, right? I mean, you know that. I've been here quite a while. And, you know, I like to tell folks, I couldn't even pay to get people to come to the table and talk to me about IPSA in 2016. I mean, literally, people are like, never happening, right? Never going to happen. To the point where, you know, hey, we're showing demo videos of what Release 3 looks just around the corner. We're gonna drop UPKs that Chief Hickman mentioned for the actual distributed learning portion of release three. You know, we're just in a very, very different, we're in a very different spot. And that's exciting for me. You know, you're on the talent management team and you're helping to think through, okay, what's next? We're going to do release three, but actually what are we doing in 22 and 23 and 24? Really exciting. But you know, maybe we pull in Chief Martinez. She's on this, just listening to us banter back and forth. And, you know, let me just say up front, I think Chief Martinez really was a change agent, you know, sitting in ForceCom and really, really helped lead, you know, the development of a data correctness, you know, campaign inside ForceCom. So I got a lot of props for her and what she did, for this whole program there. But, you know, beyond saying nice things about you, Chief, you know, what do you think?
Well, thank you, sir. I mean, it is nice to be recognized. We talk about, you know, when we don't do something right, we always get hit in the head, like right away. But when we, and I'm not just talking about me, but we as in general, we do something on the spot, on time, accurate and everything. We also, it's human nature. We take it for granted, so we don't recognize the right people. And it's actually the leadership. I heard about IPSA in about, I think I saw the order. There was a Forces Command order back in 2014 or 2015 when I was part of the one of first at Fort Campbell. And it was the IPSA champions roster. We submitted the names, and then after that, I heard crickets. And then, of course, then I PCS to USERAC, and nothing but crickets over there because we're concentrated on recruiting, you know, bringing people in. So that was the main effort. But then moving to Forces Command, I still heard some of the, what you call it, naysayers. IPSA is never going to happen. It's never going to happen. So, you know, you just keep going behind the scenes and try to push as much as one can to push IPSA. But that actually gave us some opportunity to start prepping and training. So when they ask us questions, we know what to answer. We had a great, you know, I wish I could take all the credit, but of course, we had great leadership. Colonel Valley, the Forces Command AG, Mr. Thomas, the AG deputy, and Colonel Jones and Mr. Porter. They pretty much gave me free lanes, like, okay, you're IPSA, okay, got it. And, you know, your guidance, what do we need to do now? Okay, data correctness, got it, let's do that. And then we're 2021. 2020, that email that came from the higher leadership, that actually put some gas on the pedal, you know. Then people start saying, okay, it is now part of the priority in the big Army eyes. So that helped us a lot. And with prior coordination with your data team, great team that you have out there, Major Kim, Chief Lee, I mean, we asked, they provided data. We worked through some issues with the data correctness. But it was great. I think, you know, we went through the forming, storming of the team. We stopped throwing rocks at each other and we concentrate on fixing the problem. You know, because before that, there was a little bit of friction between you against us. IPSA wants this, we want to do that. So, but we worked through that and we now focus on, let's fix what is broken, the data. And I think it was the leadership, the priorities, and some recognition, you know. We do give recognition, and units, I don't think any unit wants to be last. That's the bottom. They're trying to be the best, and we have to recognize them. Even if they just went up, you know, fix a few hundred errors, or if it's a small unit, if they fix a couple of them, they got to be recognized and let them know that, hey, you're doing well because you have all these things in your plate. I mean, I came to Fifth Corps and the calendar is full. I'm looking for blank space. It is like, oh, my God, it's exercise cup, tubs, briefs. I mean, that's all it is. So like anything that ends with a B is a brief. And before that, you got to do slides. And that's the whole week. Luckily, we do have, I think it's about 2 hours of training on Fridays. And I think most units have them. But again, we're taking time from, we have SHARP training, EO training, all this other great training. Well needed, of course, we need that type of training. But it's competing requirements that we have to work sometimes even through lunch to get as much training as we need.
And yeah, there's certainly a lot going on, right, in the Army, and you know the train does not stop because we got this new system coming online, right, Chief? I mean, you gotta prioritize and get done what you gotta get done.
That's right, sir. But the IPSA train does not stop either. That was one of my little comments in all my emails. Look, jump in the IPSA train now that is moving slow. Right now it's moving. Yeah. So you got to still jump on it and get scuffed up a little bit, but we got to jump in the IPSA train and keep moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's just a really great point, you know, and to circle it back to Chief Hickman's comments right up front, you know, what keeps you up at night? I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that keeps me up at night. Most of it's technical stuff with the system, but it's also this, you know, folks don't focus. Right. I mean, you're going to get to the point where you're going to do net training and you're going to try and learn and, you know, but you're just going to run out of time and then we're going to go live. So, you know, one of the big points that I like to tell folks is that it is a significant change. I mean, it is an Army system. Right. It's you're going to take what you're doing in EMILPO and then all the HRC systems. And you're going to put it all into one bigger system. Right. So that you get to see the same thing that your assignment managers are seeing at HRC, you know, that Force Com will be able to see the same strength and readiness information in the system as, you know, the division. So we get efficient in that sense, but there's just enough change, like, you know, customer relations module, the validator role, workflow, how semi-centralized promotions will work, and then how this data thing flows from some systems in IPS. Right, there's enough change that people have to pay attention, you know, and that's I think that's my big message to warrants. I mean, traditionally, we're looking at warrants to be the technical experts in just anything in HR. And so if you got if you have the moment now, it's like, hey, you got to start focusing now to get that focus going. You know, Chief, I don't know what kind of things are you guys you know starting to push at the schoolhouse, because I know you guys are like, you know, busy bees starting to add some things to courses, and you know, there's nil pay. I mean, there's just a whole host of things you guys are doing that's pretty exciting from our perspective.
Yeah, so you know, we're waiting on our training database, right? So I'm sure you've heard that before, but that's one of the big things, right? So there's been an enormous amount of work already done, right? So trying to, you know, get it's almost we're almost in you know, we're getting up to the starting line of that 400 meter dash that we got to do, but we're doing a lot of training to get ready for that dash. We're doing a lot of, you know, pre-planning, you know, to how we're going to run the run, how we're going to fight that fight. We're very much trying to be part of your StratCom, right, to making sure that the field, the students that come through, they know about it. Every student that comes through the schoolhouse touches IPSA, you know, so every student that comes here gets on the release to training database, and they see what IPSA looks like. It may not look exactly the same in release three, but right now they're clicking on the icons and they're looking at a part or looking a personal action request. They're looking at, you know, how you set up your workflows. So they're getting a look at that right now. So everybody's getting their fingers in it, right? Because I think that's what a lot of the field is probably kind of waiting on too, right? I want to touch something. I can read about how I drive a car all day long, yeah, and I can pass a test, yeah, but until you let me touch something, you know, I'm a touch learner, not necessarily a reading learner, folks might say. So, but from a schoolhouse perspective, we're very much, man, there's a lot of planning going on. There's a lot of resource alignment. I know that, you know, you've let some people come from your team there at IPSA that have that depth of knowledge to come down here and link in with our writing development team. You know, and that's going to be a huge, huge fix, right? Because before those folks came, right, there wasn't a single person on the AG school training development team that had ever touched IPSA, right? And it's really hard to write IPSA if you've never touched it, you've never looked at it, and all you can see is the rest. So having those folks come down is a big deal. But we are, you know, we are 100%, you know, so we've already figured out, right? So the very first class is going to get, you know, the net training punched into it is the WOBC class that starts on 17 July, right? So we already know that because they're going to be here during a net period. So they're going to get all the net training as part of their course. And then I want to say it's beginning, you know, the next FY in October, every single course is coming here. You know, you're not going to get taught eMILPO. You're not going to get taught TP or, you know, CIPPERS and all these things. It's email. It's IPSA. And you're going to understand the IPSA way to do things. So when soldiers go out to the field to prepare to be, you know, successful in their commands, and, you know, there's not going to be the fight coming that, you know.
I mean, the July date is awesome. You know, that's, I don't know, that's really cool.
And Chief, word on the street is there are some new functional courses coming online too related to IPSA. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Word on the street.
That's a fun
good job. Good job, Chief Freeman. Yeah. I like that. The talent management lead plugging the functional courses.
So every time you go into senior leaders, make sure you let them know how important those functional courses are to us, and they need to be funded. So maybe we should cut that out. So there's five different functional courses, and I wish I had those in front of me. So there's a data manager's course. There is a audit manager's course. There is a provisioning course. I believe there's an AOS course, and there's a talent management course as well too. I may have messed those up, right? But these are skills, right? So they're new things. They're not just a changing of the way how we process a lead form, changing the way that we do promotions. Those things we can replace inside of a program of instruction or a POI. But these new skills that are coming to us, like audit management, right? So I think that's one of the things that IPSA was directed to do, right? The Congress and our civilian leaders said, Army, you're not auditable. So IPSA is the answer to being able to audit everything we do. There's not a transaction that goes in that system that you can't pull back out, right? And I think that maybe that comes full on in release four to the financial piece, but there's an audit manager's piece to that too, right? And it's not something we do now. So we're going to have to teach our cohorts how to do that. I'm looking very closely at those things that are very specific to the warrant officer corps. If I know that every warrant officer one is going to be assigned a role of an audit manager, I'm not going to ask for them to come to a functional course. I'm going to put the audit management in WOBC so that they make sure that they are fully trained when they leave here. But we did lose a couple functional courses recently, the S1 course and the HR plans and ops course. But these are definitely a bridging solution. I don't know how long that bridge will last until we get enough folks, you know, that are able to do that and become something that's more integrated within us. So, but those functional courses, if we're looking forward, that's a huge build too, right? So those are four or five courses that are being built from ground up. There's a big difference in just changing, you know, the way, even significantly changing the way that we do some actions and doing entirely new things. We had a meeting right before this, and the training development director, right, she says she's worked in seven different branches, you know, and she's gone through lots of training updates and all that stuff, but never a complete rewrite of every single POI in the schoolhouse. And that's what her team is facing very soon, you know, and they think that they can. It's about 2,400 hours of development time for every single person on her staff, right? I think, I can't remember how many hours overall there is to develop, but it's an enormous task for them to do. So they're definitely prioritizing that stuff and making sure they can get that out. And the functional courses are a piece of that. So as more information comes and we really get a very clear description of the objectives and the outcomes of those courses, that's something we'll definitely, and they get approved for delivery. That's something that we will be pushing out to the force as well. It's a great question.
But Chief, that's really interesting. I mean, I just, you know, I'm teasing out like what you just said about your training lead, you know, your developer there. It kind of indicates for the field that this is such a changing, IPSA is this big change agent that's coming and landed on top of us. It's going to force changes all over the place. You know, hey, we're doing actions in a system. So therefore you have to have audit of those actions. You have to have audit capability of the data. We introduce MilPay much more aggressively in this system, right? There's all these things that's coming with IPSA that, you know, it's forcing a wholesale change of the POIs and the curricula that you're throwing out. I mean, I just think that message for the warrant corps is like, hey, you got to pay attention, right?
You can teach when the EES comes out or the new new way they're going to do a promotion, so the new way, you know, hey, there's a new lead form on the street. That's not a long rebuild, right? In a POI, right? You just kind of change out some quick stuff, but this is a full top to bottom rebuild of how we do AG, right? So there are some fundamental changes to how we do everything. Some of it is systems based and some of it is process based, but it's going to be, there will be a lot of champagne bottles, I think, also, you know, cheering when we're able to get across that finish line. It's going to be one big team effort, not just the schoolhouse, but it's going to be the field, it's going to be FMD, it's going to be IPSA team. So
I think it's going to be a huge culture change from how we manage systems completely in the HR realm. But I think one thing that it's going to do is level the playing field for us. And it's going to force us to work together because there's no expert in the field. Other than the folks that actually created the system, we're going to have to rely on each other and we're going to have to communicate in order to make this thing work. And I mean, I'm looking forward to that.
And what a huge opportunity to shine, right? I mean, so you have another opportunity to either, you know, to kind of redefine where you stand within the core, honestly. So people are going to very quickly be looking to experts, right? So I don't know about you, but, you know, if I'm sitting down there in a brigade or a battalion, I'm an AG person, I don't want to be left behind, You know, I want to continue to excel. You know, this is the profession that I chose, you know, and I'm serious about it. So I'm going to want to continue to be considered one of the elite, right? So they're not going to pull anything over my eyes.
Yeah, I think new leaders will float to the top. And this isn't the way you all are anticipating initiating some of these functional courses. You don't necessarily have to be a data person. Suppose you want to be audit. Suppose you want to be talent management. So I think that may offer a few different directions for people to be successful. But I do know data is near and dear to your heart, Chief Hickman. You can't get away from it. We're going to have to learn it. And I think that's one thing the HR field, AG Corps, is going to have to work harder at, is learning the language, the data language.
I just can't wait for audit management. I mean, the day that we have a system that is auditable, it will be awesome, because working with the auditors, oh my goodness, they are brutal. And it's a culture thing. You know, they when they audit, they go, they use the regulation that we're supposed to be using, the policies that we're supposed to be using, but they don't read between the lines. And I think that's going to be a challenge in IPSA, and maybe because I haven't actually gone through the whole flow of steps, because, you know, humans, we can maneuver around Emailbo and certain things manually. IPSA is going to force us to do certain things certain ways for a good reason, to be audit ready. And you know, that is Department of Defense and Department of the Army guidance. We have to be audit ready. So I am very excited that you'll have the functional course for the audit. That will be awesome, because a lot of people and also a lot of leadership, they don't, it's like MILPED audit. What is that? You know, why do I need to give you the 4187 for this, that this soldier got promoted? I'm like, because it's a key supporting document. It's very painful dealing with the auditors. So I'm very excited about audit. It's just like, it's great.
You're probably the only person I've ever heard since so excited about audit. I mean, I like to hear that. I mean, that's good stuff.
Well, sir, you know, you have talked to the auditors. I mean, I had to deal with auditors every month.
Yeah. So in IPSA, there's a thing called the validator role. And the validator role is essentially going to be what I think is your warrant officer in a brigade. So the validator is taking requests in the system for access to roles in the system. And, you know, IPSA is now decentralizing that work to a brigade. So the brigade controls, you know, who gets what access at that level. And that's probably going to be your warrant officer. I mean, you could make it someone else in your brigade one shot, but I kind of think that's a warrant's role to help force that, and then to ensure the audit of that request and then how those people are operating in the system. But that's like change number one. You're not sending a bunch of forms to MCOM or to HRC for access. You're just doing it with your own unit. But then you have to also operate on your SOP for, you know, what says, hey, this is how you allow access for folks in the system. So that becomes just that role adjudication and access to the system, you know, an auditable thing. And that's one of the first things that the audit folks will look at. You know, positively, the National Guard has done surprisingly, you know, well with their audit this year with IPSA. I mean, we had a couple of system things identified at the top, you know, at my level with the team that we had to correct, which were easily correctable. But the KPMG auditors really liked the controls on the system, the access controls on the system, and then how pay was working. Because there's 26 transactions in release two that tie to pay directly. So we got a really good report card this year. And, you know, we're looking to carry that forward with release three. Of course, it's bigger, right? You know, all three components, 1 million people. So the stakes are much higher. But we're really headed into a good position there. But it's like forcing us to now think about audit in a different way, you know, whereas before the warrant or whoever was sending that stuff up the chain, now you're kind of handling it.
Hey, sir, as you were talking about provisioning, right, and I suppose the man hours that it takes to do provisioning, and I look at the National Guard that is not nearly nomadic as the active component, to where there's constant changing outing of leadership. Do you feel that the provisioning, you know, is so labor intensive that it's really going to be a full-time job for somebody all the time, or it's just got a whole lot of work that's just some simple maintenance after that? Because I know it's not HIMSS. It's really, the human information management system on drugs, right, to really down to the action level over.
Well, you know, so for us, it's, you know, I think it's going to be up front. Learning it is the hardest part. So your time, you know, could be a full-time job up front as you get the system up and running. Because also, I think that same person that's doing that oversight of the roles and provisioning, you know, there'll be some learning as to what roles need to be added to certain people, right? And we'll cover that in the net training as folks go through training in the middle of the year. And that's one of those big changes. You got to pay attention to that. You got to be thinking about that. And then you're set up a workflow too at the beginning. Like, what is the workflow in a brigade up to, you know, division and beyond? I think that will take some time up front. But then after you get past the first, you know, month, couple of months, you get familiar, then this just becomes like clockwork. You're always going to have someone executing the role of this validator, because there's people coming in all the time. But I think it'll calm itself down. But you know, the other thing, and you know, when we were talking before this session, right, I do think you're going to have to dedicate a couple of your people in your S1 shops to transactions and IPS, and you're going to have to really protect folks' time so they can do those transactions, you know, route actions, make sure actions are not, you know, being held by people, right? All that stuff's traceable in the system now. So you're going to send a transact, or you're going to send an action, it gets routed, and the system will tell you where it's at. But, you know, the arrivals, the departures, the assignments, right, the orders, the pay, you know, error resolution, you know, you're going to need a couple of people to focus on this maybe a little more closely than what they have been focusing on eMilpo. But you gain time back from, you know, running all over the place, looking for blue folders and actions that are, you know, filtering around.
I agree, but, sir. I think it's our implied tasks are going to change from what they are now. I mean, it's kind of written in stone. We've been doing HR for years. But with the new system, you're going to find different challenges. And with that, we're going to have to adjust. So I think your idea is a good one. But I think in the field, there'll be a lot more great ideas that we haven't even thought of yet that'll eventually come up to the top in order for us to kind of execute our jobs where we are, because every unit is different. So I look forward to the ideas that are going to come forward once soldiers start using the system.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me, I got to go sell my blue folder stock.
Yeah.
It's going to go down.
Well, but, you know, I think Chief's like talking about CRM, per, you know, potentially. So customer relations management allows a soldier to put in a help ticket that gets routed to your S1 shop. So I would tell you, you don't need soldiers coming into the S1 shop physically, you know, with their whole chain of command. I mean, they can send whatever issue they have, whatever documentation they have, via the system electronically off of their phone, right? And I'm holding up my personal mobile phone right here. So IPSA allows personal mobile access. Soldier has access to put in a help ticket through CRM, initiate a personnel action request, or initiate a leave form to, hey, then, you know, S1 shops are probably laying in people that need to focus on the system much more than what they do today. Like, you go into an S1 shop today, Chief, right? You know, you probably don't have soldiers consistently in a system. That, you know, they might do that once or twice a day. That's it. So status changes, things like field duty, right? So that's in the system. You're supposed to update field duty status, like is a soldier in the field? If you update that in the system, it automatically deducts separate rats. But you have to do the transaction, right? It doesn't happen automatically. You got to actually be in the system and update the duty status. Well, we all know, you guys know, you guys have a collective, you know, 70 years of service. Most units in the Army don't update duty status frequently in eMilpo because there's no real driver forcing them to do it, right? Pay is not tied to it in most cases, right? I mean, we haven't really focused on purse tempo like we should. But as you lay in pay in release three on some of these transactions, and then when you get to release four, every ounce of your pay is tied to those duty statuses. Then all of a sudden, you know, it really transforms, you know, how we'll be operating. And, you know, to Chief's point, Chief Freeman's point, oh, heck yes, I totally agree. We're going to get started and we'll notice some different things that we got to address. The Guard has really had to refocus on the Army org server, for instance. How does the Army org server's positions tie into their structure in IPSA? And there's a level of transparency now that big Army sees that we've never seen before. So then they're getting graded a little bit on how their structure is looking. And that's just that's a change. That's tied to audit. Full transparency, you know, auditability of why you're making certain decisions. So it's been painful to a certain extent, but we're moving in a direction that you know, we've been told to go.
Well, sir, do you think the relationship between the G1 and the G3 will improve with the use of the IPSA system, since we're talking about AOS?
I don't know about you, Chief. I had a great relationship with my G3 and 1ID.
When you start talking spaces and faces, there's this divide. The actions, the one's job stops at a certain part, and then the G3 picks up after that. We've always had that argument as far as who manages the positions, and will that be an issue when we start using IPSA? Will we still have that age-old argument about faces to spaces?
I think that it's harder to manage in the Guard as they have a lot of maneuvering with, you know, how people are paid and what status they're on. I think it's much harder in the Guard to manage than it will be in the active duty. So I'll say that up front. We've spent a lot of time in putting together a training package for both G3s, FM people in divisions and lower, as well as the G1s. So the training is out there, but we really have to get exposed to it to understand how it's driving, you know, manning, because we're, number one, Army Org Server is tied to this GFMDI compliance. It's a DoD thing. We're supposed to get one person per one slot. But all most units, not most, but a good amount of units are overmanned for different reasons, for readiness reasons, for priority reasons, for mission set reasons. And so we have to then build temporary billets to accommodate that access in this Army org server. And so a lot of times that discussion back and forth is a G1, G3, you know, combined discussion. You know, G3s don't always know what the manning in a division is. And honestly, there's never been a system that's going to include everybody. And so this IPSA system, that's one of the big changes, is that this is an integrated system where, you know, your G3 will be in the system just like your G1. So I think there's room that we have to come together, and there's room that we have to talk together. And it's, you know, it's not going to be a perfect, you know, road here. But the more that warrants can learn about AOS and what the heck it is, up like plug into the training that we have, the better as we move forward to integrate and to work.
that you kind of you're kind of talking about.
Yes, sir. I'm speaking more to the. I know over time, S1s end up wanting to change positions or change ranks, change little things that are associated with the positions for the unit. I was wondering if it was going to be easier to get that done, or is that all just based on a relationship that you have, which is basically the way it used to be, relationship driven almost.
You know, I know you like to talk a lot, Chief, right? You like to make these relationships work. I mean, nothing's going to change there. I think that the relationship piece is uber important. Like for instance, here's another area where we're pulling data in from DTMS, right? The training system. That's not an HR system. We don't usually have access to the training system DTMS.
Right.
But the APFT, the height, weight, and the weapons quals coming from DTMS. And we don't have an ability in it, say, to change that data. You have to go get it from DTMS. So this is another area where G3s have to pay attention. Hey, this really matters for semi-centralized promotions as we you know are operating now and as we go into the future. Not many people like that system, DTMS, but it's the system that we're supposed to upload that data in. We had this very discussion with I-Corps a couple of weeks ago, where you know they're just frustrated with uploading into that other system, and I'm like, well, you know, so that's what we have to do at the moment. So we got to do it to ensure that we're not, you know, negatively impacting soldiers. So we just got to work. We got to work through those things as you know things develop.
I suppose we can't change it all at once. So baby steps.
Well, you know, this is a journey, you know, no doubt about it. You know, Chief Martinez.
Yeah, I think it's relationship. I agree with that. But it's also a doctrine, a structure. You know, we have the Army Organization Server manual, but I don't think we, and that's what concerns me. And actually, that's what keeps me sometimes up at night, that because if we don't have the structure built and the correct hierarchy built, how is that going to impact IPSAE? So it's very important that we understand the Army organizational server. But I think, I mean, it's a new system. Nobody wants to touch it. As we go below a strategic level, we don't want to think through the whole process. We need something like we mentioned before, steps. Step one, log into the system, go do this, go do that. By steps, checklist, something that could be easily managed. And I don't think we have that quite yet. Major Lumo has done an extraordinary, great job providing training. But it's different type of training that you have to connect the dots in order to understand how the system works. So that's what's concerned me the most, that we still don't have a full grasp between AOS and how it's going to fit into IPSAE and the importance of it. So we are ready probably, I think it's April, that we need to have pretty much almost everything ready or we're going to be behind the power line.
Yeah, I think this is where it's important that we also circle up in the AG schoolhouse with AOS training that goes along with, you know, just writ large data, HR data, and how that flows and whatnot. I think you're articulating, Chief, where this is really hard to change the Army. And so you got an AOS system, Army org server, right? FM folks, G3s, it's clearly in their lane, right? Folks still are starting to learn. This is one of the biggest changes of an integrated system. They're starting to learn that they have a real role in soldiers' pay and benefits. And so that still hasn't trickled down into FM training. Like if you're an FM leader in the Army, you don't totally understand yet, and we're going at it and we're educating. You still don't understand the implications that you have to actively do that. And then this is a new role for the G3s too. So operationally, G3s and divisions and below S3s, they generally don't focus on the maneuvering of their structure, the dynamic nature of the structure, and that's a change that's coming. So you know, I tend to be optimistic, Chief, that the numbers seems to show that most organizations are doing something right now. So I think we'll get there with this initial build with AOS. And then more importantly, there's some slotting scorecard work that we'll start to report out on, you know, much more that you know, highlights that, you know, folks need to focus here as we go. This is an area we got to focus on. And it's, you know, if you're going to worry, this is probably one of the things you can worry about as we fix it. Don't worry about IPSA working. The thing's going to work. We're going to get it out to the Army, but there's some of these more difficult things that we need folks to pay attention to help us work through, because it won't be easy. You guys know that. It won't be easy as we get going.
In my opinion, sir, I think it gets back to what Chief Hickman mentioned earlier. Everybody learns differently. And I think once people see how things work, they see it in action, they get to put their hands on it, and they can go in the system and effectively make changes. And of course, you know, you start showing us the scorecards. I think that's really what's going to probably help us get over this hump and really figure out what's going on.
Yeah, Chief Martinez early on in it today, it's, you know, kind of highlighted that the Vices email got some people focused. Again, I'm optimistic, but this is like no kidding. It's why I say, hey, this is a big change, and we got to focus. So HR business and IPSA, you're adding MilPay. We're going to transition MilPay to the AG Corps, and then the structure stuff's on the side. You got to kind of understand that as well. So if you want to be like the superstar in the future, right, in our core, like if you want to be that old dragon master, the smartest person in our business, and data underlines all three of that, right? You know, that's Chief Hickman's favorite focus is the data. But data focus, you know, the underlying part of all three of those areas is the data.
Yeah, sir. So I was thinking, right, we need to come up with a new dragon master. We call our data masters the Mandalorians, right? So, you know, something new, hip, right? Some baby Yodas. I like Mandalorian. I'm gonna start pushing that. That's my new Stratcon.
Right. That's a modernized Dragon Master.
Yes, I love it. The Mandalorian.
Does that come with a medal?
It might. It might come with a suit of a suit of armor, right? That's impenetrable. But really, I mean, I think, you know, you becoming the Mandalorian, right, makes you, it gives you great power, right, in the HR core, because we do talk about data a lot. And I told these guys earlier, right, if I had a hobby that I'd love to spend more time, or if I could start it all over again, I'd try to be an economist, right? Because, you know, I'd have to have a guy that works for me that knows how to do, I need my own ORSA, right? Because I'm not necessarily the best in the world when it comes to, you know, creating all of these databases that can make the data dance. But what I really like to do is look at data and try to understand data and what it's telling me and some of the underlying messages, and maybe some of the stuff that's just not really obvious to folks. You know, I know you provided us you provided me an FMD reading list. And I internally told myself I'm going to challenge myself to finish all those by the end of the summer, just for my own personal stuff. But I do think that, you know, so there's going to be a change of how we do in data. When I look at the HR core now, and it's something that we're doing here in the AG school, we look at us, you know, and there's this data curve. And I think we stole it from UPS, you know, and we made it our own and changed some symbols on it. But, you know, and you start at the bottom where you just have this data, you know, it's very past tense. And you try to get up to this, you know, almost artificial intelligence, right, to where your data is figuring out stuff where you're on, which really predictive analysis. So, but really, as an Army, I don't think we've really ever, at most operational levels, even, you know, corps, even at ForceCom, right, we're very much at an ad hoc information basis. We can tell you what the data says right now. We don't do a whole lot of predictive analysis. And there's reasons for that, right, because to really do deep predictive analysis takes a lot of manpower, a lot of really, really smart folks and quite a bit of time to do. It's been shown in the civilian world. But I do think that we can continue to shape the mindsets of AG, of HR professionals to look at data differently, to try to understand, to resource, and to say, hey, if I impact this and I can change this, right? You know, and just being able to plug and play. Unfortunately, we have to capture a lot of data, a lot of different data. And I think IPSA gets to a lot of that. I think it's very cool that we're going to have one data source, right? We have so many opportunities with data. I think there's opportunities that we don't even know about yet to use data to drive change, right? This people first, winning matters. I mean, how cool is that? We're people, right? I mean, human resources, right? So I consider our wartime mission every day. You know, and we take care of soldiers and their families, and a lot of that's through maintaining their soldier life cycle, you know, from birth to death. But there's probably going to be some skill sets, right? So not everybody probably leans to having the capacities to do, you know, to write code or to sit up late at night on their 70-inch screen creating these databases and stuff. You know, but we have to take the opportunities. But then we also have to do something else, and that's something, you know, that I've always kind of thought, right? We need to quit taking our data offline on some levels, right? There's opportunities. You know, one commander likes it in blue and the other one likes it in red, right? So let's just find a color. It's purple. We'll make it. Well, we can't do purple. That's joint, right? So let's make it orange, right? And just get everybody to kind of convene on that stuff and get our commander, because I think we'll have a lot more success. We'll get that way once we get our EP, all of our EP systems going together, and we can create these commander dashboards. But at some point, I think that's the other piece of the cultural change, right? We have to find some commonality of looking at data, so we're not continuing to get ourselves into what we were doing before and using a database, as you will, to pull data, then manipulate and create other reports, right? So let's work with the IPSA team to tell them our requirements, right? And then they can work and create those reports for us, and that stuff can be top driven. So I think we have an opportunity to change. So I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ms. Freeman.
Just caveat off of what you said. I think it takes us away from those internal ad hoc spreadsheets that we're also used to. Some of us have been fortunate enough to have a guy or girl that really knows systems really well or access and can provide exactly what we need. But I think IPSA will help with that. Colonel Johnson, is there? Can you share some of the analytics that we can kind of look forward to as far as being able to build those different data sheets in IPSA?
What Chief Hickman's talking about, though, I think is kind of where we're headed, right? So we're solidifying data and authoritative data in IPS. So IPS is your primary weapon system out in the field, right? It's not anything else. It's not, you know, COPS. It's not EMILPO. It's not TOPMIS. It's not EDAS. It's not whatever else has been created at the local level. You know, the ACT system goes away, right? We are headed towards IPSA being that single weapon system that we're utilizing for a lot of things. And it's authoritative for HR. So once you have authoritative data in the system and you're doing transactional stuff like, you know, workflow and tracking readiness and assignments and all of that, orders, now you're creating data on the transactions of the HR business like we've never had before. So all of that then gets pushed into a data warehouse. So not only will you have baseline information on soldiers, you know, their knowledge, skills, and behaviors, their experiences, that kind of thing. You have transactional data from the system. You have mil pay and audit data from the system. You have information from CRM on soldiers' issues. All of that data now is kind of tied together in an HR enclave that we can then use to start to do some of those really interesting analytic work that Chief was talking about moving forward. So we're not there on day one. On day one, we really have readiness and strength management type analytics. So stuff to help us think through manning and slotting and all, you know, the normal business that we've been doing. What's the readiness rates? You know, who's leaving, that kind of stuff. But we really have a foundation to continue to build as we move forward. And we're really driving, you know, well, what's next with analytics? How do we build out more analytics? So all that's kind of coming. I'm really excited about it. Because, you know, nowhere in the United States Army in 2021 do you have a laydown of how long actions take. You know, you might have it localized if someone's using gears, you know, but it's all hodgepodge. You know, we are in 2021 and we are the United States Army, and, you know, you still can't say some of that stuff. You know, it's fine time to modernize, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I think in 2050, I don't need an assignment officer, right? There's so much data in the system that has told me through the experience, and AI is figuring out exactly where I need to go to be successful based upon past experiences. And it brings in evals and KSBs and what you're good at and who you served with. You know, so it's gonna, and even my preferences, if you will, even though I'm not a fan of AIM preferences, but nevertheless, you know, it should be able to tell me, hey, you know, I know based upon, you know, your background, your career, maybe where you were born or how you went to high school. I don't know. Right. But there's so much data that's available that I don't need somebody, you know, that perhaps have biases. Right. You get rid of those biases, or, you know, they're going to do it what they know and how they grew up. And this is how I became successful. But the system can go in and look at all of these data points and understand what makes you most successful and say, boom, this is your next position. And not only that, but maybe it's also tracking all those people under you, and they need this kind of leader. You know, I think there's endless possibilities of where data can take us. It's just, you know, where do we get all this data, and then how do we figure it out and set it up? So I hope in my lifetime, you know, I get to see some of that stuff. You know, not my Army lifetime, but throughout too. I'm very excited about, you know, the future of AI. As long as the robots and toasters don't take over, then we should be good. But, I'm very interested in that kind of stuff.
We will have Mandalorians that watch R6, Chief. So perfect. I think we'll be okay.
Are you sure there's no copyright on that?
They're gonna wear a Rising Eagle. They're gonna wear a Rising Eagle on their chest. How about that?
I just like the idea that, if I remember correctly, there was a couple hundreds of type of reports that IPSA is going to have available, and especially for readiness and strength, accountability. I mean, if you think about it, throughout the years, you have a clerk crunching numbers, and they can't, you know, sometimes we can't add 2 + 2 is we put 5 and we hand jam the number. I'm like, use the formulas. So I think I can't remember the exact number. It was in one of the trainings or sessions, but I heard a couple hundreds. So if there are any reports out there, I can guarantee you that one of those couple hundreds, the commander is going to like. You just have to figure out which one of it that commander is going to like. And then the predictability is that, you know, I have heard that I say, okay, So tell me this, so what? And then, you know, sometimes their numbers are boring and they don't change. And they're like, okay, so it's the same data. Sometimes they just want to change the way it looks just because it's like, okay, it's the same thing. But I think one of the 100 reports they're going to like. So sometimes we just have to flip it around, and instead of going from top to bottom, we can go from left to right. But I'm excited about that. When I heard a couple hundreds and the way the matrix was show, I mean, there's tons of pre-queries that looks like they already have been built. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, and those come out, you know, as we go live in release 3. And, you know, as we go into net training, folks will get exposed to what's out there. And then there's a pretty, you know, ad hoc query capability too. Pretty good capability there. And then, you know, our team, you know, Sherry Freeman's part of it, is thinking about, okay, what comes next in 22 and 23? And I have an analytics team that, you know, is going to build and create more reports and graphics and metrics, and deliver that in 22 and 23 as well. So all of that will be just kind of ongoing, where we're doing upgrades to capability. It's, you know, a pretty aggressive way ahead for modernization, where we'll be able to continue to whale
at the system and upgrade it. So excited, pretty excited about that. Well, you know, Chiefs, if I can say that, we've been all around the world and up and down and left and right. Any parting shots, Chief, I'll have to hold you to about 30 seconds though. I mean, you can get going. Chief Hickman, that is.
I have my 30-second elevator speech ready, right? So you talked about the 24/7, Army access, which kind of instantly made my head think, man, the S1's always going to be open. There's no going to be more, office hour signs on the door. But really what that comes down to, and that's really not about it, right? So I say things that keep me up at night, and, I know we need to do this and this and this. But in the end, especially the warrant officers, I can speak to them because they're near and dear to my heart. They're going to get it done. They are going to drive. They're going to drive hard. They're an incredibly proud, resourceful, an intelligent group of folks that that are truly dedicated to their profession. So I look forward to seeing the warrant officers kill it day in, day out. They'll do it probably in spite of me instead of, me trying to help them out, right? But they're going to get it. And I'm pretty excited for the AG Corps because it's not going to just be limited to the warrant officers. But I know, that everything's been put in place for us to be successful. And there's work to be done, but we're going to knock it out the park. Over. And thank you for allowing me to come on and talk with these guys. Maria is one of my she's my Mandalorian. So this is a cool opportunity.
Chief Martinez, you got anything?
No, I mean, thank you for the opportunity. Just want to say great job to all the AG warrant officers. Of course, I can just not anymore say just Forescom AG warrant officers because I'm not in Fifth Corps. But I think even behind the scenes, we got together and all the warrant officers within each corps, they form up their own teams. And I was actually able to see how they communicate. Thanks to Mark Hickman for the warrant officer development that we have every month. I mean, that created a little bit of bonding. And sometimes we just sit quiet and listen to the ideas and then we go back and work and kind of do the same thing. So I think the corps and the divisions warrant officers really were able to bring together the rest of the warrant officers and work through data correctness. I mean, it's a big change. We were slowly but surely and then boom. So that was it. The AG warrant officers work as a team. So I'm very happy that they did that. They did all the heavy lifting. And of course, without the G1 leadership support, we couldn't have done anything. So I'm very appreciative of especially Colonel Perilli, Colonel Libet at First Corps. I mean, very supportive leaders. And all the other G1s, of course. So I just want to say thank you to everybody. I mean, they did an awesome job. I was just pulling that up, putting a little chart and send it out, And, sometimes like, hey, keep us honest. And that's what I was trying to do. I wasn't trying to throw rocks at anybody. Like, hey, I know we all work in the same issues. Let's keep moving. So it was a great teamwork. I think from my point of view, I saw great teamwork between the warrant officers.
See, we're already being really positive in 2021, which is good, I think, Chief. Chief Freeman, what do you got here at the end?
Sir, so thank you for the opportunity to be part of your podcast. I appreciate that. I think the warrant officers will be prepared. I think as long as we have the mindset to prepare for, some new implied tasks and we're open to change, I believe we'll be able to make this work. I think we will continue to encourage learning, especially beginning down at the lower levels, warrant officer candidates on up. Now's a good time to start reinforcing that warrant officer network. This is a once in a career type opportunity, ushering in a new HR system. And I think we all will grow from it as we plan for it and once it gets released. Again, thank you for the opportunity, sir.
You don't always get the opportunity to have, 70 plus years of experience talking to you about, modernizing the Army and pushing forward with IPSA. So I just really appreciate the time that you guys have spent with us today.
And you know, I'm just excited. I'm positive. I know we're going to get this done and get it out. You know, it's not going to be easy, right? We got to focus. We got to learn. We got to train a little bit, and then we got to work the newness out of the system. Maybe learn some new tricks as we get going. To end, I think, you know, for the audience, hey, we got all kinds of stuff posted on our social media accounts. So we're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, et cetera. But most of the best stuff is sitting on our S1Net site. And we do have some playlists for S1s and whatnot that you can use and look at today. So I would just, you know, pump that a little bit, and then just hold on for the ride, folks. We're here to get IPSA done. So with that, thank you for joining us today, and I look forward to speaking with you as we move forward with other editions and other engagements. So good night.
Online. Mobile. Integrated. Motivated. Right soldier, right job, right on time.
24/7, 365.